We're continuing with the fourth chapter of Eicha. Eicha, Yu'am Zahav, Yishneh Haketem Hatov. This lamentation was said over the king Yoshiyahu. We discussed him earlier, how he was shot to death in the war against Pyro Necho. Yirmiyahu is saying, how has gold lost its shine? Eicha Yu'am Zahav. How has the gold been dulled from its shine? Yishne Haketim Hatov. The vessels of beautiful gold have changed their countenance, the way they're viewed, and they look different now. Tishtapechna avni kodesh berosh kol chutzot. The holy stones were poured out throughout all the marketplaces. The stones that were jewels, that were gems, were just scattered as they destroyed the temple. Stones that you didn't dare touch. What are these holy, precious stones? We're talking about the children of Israel. They are the holy stones. They are the building blocks of Israel. And here Yirmiyahu walks around Jerusalem and sees bodies, corpses of these precious children lying in every corner. Tishtapechna avnei kodesh, holy stones are being poured and scattered throughout the city. Chazal tell us, Yirmiyahu came up behind Yoshiyahu, and every arrow that pierced Yoshiyahu and a quart of blood dripped out of him, Yirmiyahu would grab it and bury it on the spot. And about that, the blood, how Yoshiyahu bled to death, Yirmiyahu weeps and laments and says, how could holy stones be scattered like that? And the holy stones is a reference to the life of Yoshiyahu, the blood that came out of him. Bnei Tzion Haikarim, the precious children of Zion, Hamsulaim Bapaz. When people would see them, they'd say, look at them. They're more beautiful than the finest gold. Eicha nechshevu lenivlei cheres maasei yedei yotzer. They would take Jewish children, tie them to their bedposts when they were intimate with their wives, so that their wives would look at them as they were intimate, and the idea was, if they see beautiful things, they'll have beautiful children. They valued the children so much, they said they're so gorgeous, that they wanted them as figurines in their homes for their wives to look at. And now, these children are like nivlei cheres, like pitchers of earthenware. Earthenware is the cheapest vessel. Nivlei is really a play on words, like nivela. Maasei yedei yotzer, like they were fashioned by a simple potter. Gamtanim chaletzushad heiniku gurehen. Even the tanim, the crocodile, when as cruel as it is, when it sees its baby coming, it gives forth its milk. It gives its cubs, so to speak, to drink, as cruel as they are. What? It's not a... I don't know what tanim is, which type of creature. It's a, something like a snake, whatever. I don't know what a tanim is. You're saying it's not a crocodile? Okay. Okay, I don't know.
Yeah, it's in a man.
Bat Amid. I'm not sure what the translation of a Tanim is. What? Tanim? I don't know. Right, but neither one gives milk. So I'm not sure what this Tanim is. Tanim, I don't know. Right, so here it's a Tanim, I don't know. One understanding here is that the Tanim is really a metaphor for the enemies. Even the enemy, as cruel as they are, they feed their own kids. Bat Amid Leachzal Chayeinim Bamidbar. But my nation has become so cruel, like the Ye'enim, some cruel animal out in the desert, that even though they see their children begging for bread, they have nothing to offer them, they don't give them any food. And the Navi is describing the cruelty that plagued the people as they started competing with their own children for the last morsel of food. Davak lishon yonek elchiko batama. The suckling's tongue stuck to his cheek in thirst. Olalim shalulechem pores ein lahem. The children, the babies, beg for bread, and no one's offering it to them. Ha'ochelim lema'adanim nashamu ha'chutzot. These same children who were brought up on the greatest sweets are now walking around and in shock through the marketplaces looking for something to eat. Ha'emunim alei tolah chibiku ashpatot. The children who were brought up with the finest clothing are now taking hold of the garbage, lying among the garbage, looking for food. Vayigdal avon bat ami mechatat sedom. The sins of my nation were worse than Sodom. And the proof of it is their suffering. Because Sodom was ha-hafucha chemoraga velo chaluva. Yadayim. Sodom was overturned in a minute. They didn't suffer as long as we did. Sodom, no one picked up their hands and said, "Oy vey, no." In a second, boom, it's over. But we weren't that way. Zaku nizireha misheleg. Tzachu mechalav. My nation's nizirim, the people who withheld themselves from wine, they were more pure than snow. They were cleaner than milk. Ademu etzem mipeninim sapil gizratam. They looked like sapphire. The people who were, they looked so red and healthy. Chashach mishechol ta'oram. Now they look darker than black, and that's what happens when people die of hunger. Lo nikru b'chutzot. The people who were darker than coal wouldn't even be recognized in the markets. Safad oram al atzmam yavesh hayachaetz. Safad oram al atzmam. Their skin was glued to their bones and it was as dry as wood. was as brittle as wood. That's what happens when people die of famine, of thirst. So the skin gets taut and gets glued to the body. That's, yeah, you guys know this, right? Tovim hayu chalelei cheriv mechalelei ra'av. The people killed by sword were much better off than the people killed by famine. Sheheim yazuvu medukarim mitenuvot sadai. Because they, the people who were killed by sword, okay, they died. They were sliced. They were killed. But there are two ways in which a person's stomach can be sliced. One is by the enemy's sword, and one is there's a stage in famine where the stomach can't contract anymore and it breaks in two. And that's what the Navi is describing. Shehem yazuvu medukarim. Their stomachs broke open and their innards spilled out. Mitinuvot sadai, from the little food that they gathered from the fields. They'd eat whatever roots they could find, whatever grasses they could find, but that famine ultimately led their stomachs to burst. Nashim rachamaniyot bishilu yaldehen. The women who were famous for their mercy for the poor were witnessed cooking their own children. Hayu levarot lamo. That was their food. Bishever batami. As my nation was broken. Kila Adonai et chamato. Hashem finished off his wrath that was burning within him. Shafach charon apo. He poured out his anger. Vayatzet eish b'tzion v'tochal yesodoteha. And Hashem himself lit the fire in Zion as it was burnt to its foundations. This goes back to the Medrash, that the enemies couldn't get a fire lit, and angels came down and lit the fires at the foundations of Jerusalem. Lo eminu malchei eretz kol yoshevei tevel. The kings of the land, anyone who lived at the time, couldn't believe. Ki yavo tzar ve'oyev b'sha'arei Yerushalayim. They couldn't believe that the enemies, Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan, those hated enemies, that they would enter the gates of Jerusalem. No one believed it would happen. Mechatot. Why? Because we were so powerful. No one else had ever succeeded. No one else had succeeded in breaching and in taking us down. And at the end of the day, we were still living off of the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. In the world's eyes, this is a nation that came out of nowhere, that had the sea split for them. How would that happen? We didn't believe it would happen either. We kept saying, we have a temple, we have God. How are we ever going to lose? Remember the miracle that happened only a few decades earlier when Sennacherib came and Nebuchadnezzar was a soldier in that army. He himself also witnessed that miracle. Mechatot nevieha avonot kohaneha. And here for the second time, Hashem answers and says, well, it's the sins of those false prophets that kept telling them everything's going to be okay. It's the sins of the priests that were sacrificing for idols. Hashofechim bekirba dam tzadikim. So the simple reading is that the prophets and the priests were murdering the righteous. And Chazal tell us that the the verse is to be understood with another word, that they caused the spilling of the blood of the righteous within it. Meaning they caused this destruction, which goes back to the idea that we saw earlier. Na'u ivrim bachutzot negoalu badam. When the blind would walk through the marketplaces, their feet would be slipping on the blood of all the innocent people who were killed in Jerusalem. There was tremendous murder going on. Bilo yuchlu yige'u bilevusheihem. The relatives couldn't approach to touch their clothing. They'd call out to them and say, "Hey, watch it! Surutame kare ulamo." They called out to the blind and said, "Now you're defiled. Stay away. Suru suru al tigau." They said to the people, "Be careful, there's a dead man there. It's all stinky. There's blood all over there." Amiru bagoyim lo yosifu lagu. When things were calm, so then we thought, we're never going to continue living among the nations. We wouldn't do that. We have our own land. So this is the interpretation, more or less, according to Rashi. So the blind are walking around getting dirty with the blood of those that were murdered, the innocents that were murdered. And being that they couldn't see, below yuchlu, because they couldn't see, yigubil vushahim, they touch the bodies and the clothing of the bodies of those that were murdered. And the relatives would call out and say, "Watch out!" People would call out and say, "Stay away, that's defiled. Stay away, don't come close to them." Kinatsu, because those two were fighting, gamna'u, that's why they've been shifted this way. And here Then, according to this interpretation, so after the word altiga'u, after the Navi finished describing how people would tell the blind, "Watch out where you're going, there are dead people all over," so then the Navi goes back and says, why were they exiled like this? Kinatsu, because there was constant infighting and people were killing one another. Gamna'u, that's why they were shifted, like Navanad, that's why they were shifted to exile. And they had said, Amru, not Amru Bagoyim, but Amru, the Jewish people said, Bagoyim lo yosipu lagu. We won't live among the nations. No way we'd be exiled. But Hashem said, no, if there's infighting, if there's murder, then yes, you will. Pinei Adonai chilekam. Hashem's anger is what separated them and scattered them among the nations. Lo yosif lehabitam. Hashem won't continue looking at them, so to speak. They broke away from Hashem's face. Pnei Hashem chilekam. They divided themselves from Hashem's face. Lo yosif lehabitam. So Hashem says, I'm not looking at them either. Pnei kohanim lo nasahu. Uzkenim lochananu. They were so wicked, they didn't respect their own priest, they didn't have mercy over their own elder. And that's why Hashem says, I'm not going to recognize them either. I'm not going to stand by them either. Oreinu, or Odeinu, Tichlena Eineinu El Ezrateinu Havel. When things went bad, we were still hopeful because we had a peace treaty with the Egyptians. So we were confident, you know, they'll come and help us out. But they didn't. The Medrash says the Egyptians got on their ships and they said, we're going to come. We had a peace treaty with the Israelis. We're coming. They started traveling and there were great waves at sea. And Hashem made it that it seemed to them like there were people coming up at them in the water, pushing them back. And they kept seeing the waves and they kept looking at the waves and it seemed like people kept pushing them back. They started saying to one another, you know what's happening here? These are the spirits of our forefathers who sank in this sea because of the Jews. Those Jews, of course, it's our fault they sank in the sea, right? That's always interesting how they viewed it. We're going to help them? No, we're turning back. So Hashem had warned them, don't place your confidence in the Egyptians. But they did. So we were still looking out. When are they going to come? When are those forces going to come? And our eyes, so to speak, were worn down as we were looking. El Ezrateinu Havel. Our hope, which was so vain. Betzipiateinu tzipinu. El Goy lo Yoshia. With all our hope, we were hoping for a nation that would give no salvation. Sadu tzeadeinu milechet birchovoteinu. Our enemies lay in ambush for us, and so they forced us to cease from walking in our own streets. Karav kitzeinu. Maleu yameinu, kivakitzeinu. Our end was near. Our days must have been filled, because now must have been our time. Kalim ayu rodefeinu, minishrei shamayin. And those who pursued us were swifter, lighter than the eagles in the heavens. Ale arim de lakunu. Bamidbar arevulanu. They chased after us through mountains. They laid ambush for us in deserts. The mountain isn't the place where it's easy to run. Even there they ran. The desert isn't the place where it's easy to set an ambush. The desert is the simplest place to see who's waiting for you. No, even in the desert they were able to lay ambush for us. Ruach apeinu Meshiach Adonai. Nilkad bishchitotam. Our Mashiach, our King, Yoshio, that we loved him like life, he was caught amongst their shchitotam, which could mean their pits that they dug, their traps that they dug, with the destruction that they wrought. Yoshio, according to this, they set some kind of trap for him. It's not as simple as it says in Divrei Hayamim that they just, their archers just caught him. Asher amarnu betzilo nichye vagoyim. We had been confident. We have such a tzaddik. In his merit, we will manage among the nations. Sisi v'simchi bat Edom, yoshevet be'eretz utz. Be happy, you daughter of the Edomites, you who live in Utz. Have a good time. Be happy, things are good for you now. But you just wait. Gam alayich ta'avor kos. Tishkiri vetitari. Yeah, things seem calm now. You're going to see. You're going to drink that same cup, that same poisonous cup that we drank, and you're going to see yourself vomit. What's this pasuk doing here? Edom? The whole destruction was Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian Empire. And here Yirmiyahu's prophesizing for the Second Temple about the Roman Empire.
Alright, isn't it also very common that Yirmiyahu mentioned a lot of the nations?
But what here? The whole chapter was discussing the destruction by the Babylonians. Tam avoneich bat Zion. Zion's sins are over. We've paid our dues. Lo yosif lehagloteich. The Edomite exile is your final exile. There isn't another exile after that. Pakad avoneich bat Edom. Gila al chatotayich. You're going to see. Hashem is going to take Edom's sins to task, and Hashem is going to reveal and make known all their sins. And again, Yirmiyahu ends the chapter with a word of hope, only he leaped forward to the second temple, which is fascinating. He's talking about Edom, Zion, Edom.